Now that you're here. Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 13 through verse 16 for our text. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and reading verse 13 through verse 16. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming or the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have a word of hope that we've read this morning. And Father, we believe, Lord, that you who gave us this promise are here to perform it. We believe, Father, that you have come down with a shout. We're waiting for the voice of the resurrection and the trump which will take us out of here. And Father, we have this great promise, and so we ask that you would help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of what it's all about. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I'd like to speak on the subject that many, many people have questions concerning, and that is the topic of rapturing faith. Now, just what is rapturing faith? Well, I think most believers in the end time ministry, or who follow the end time ministry of Malachi 4, understand those two words, what they mean. We all understand that the rapture is what we generally speak of as a change of the body and the catching away of the saints to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. But more specifically, we know that William Branham taught us that the rapture is a series of three events that the Lord himself does in his descent while his presence is here. First, he gives us a shout, which is a message, according to Brother Branham's sermon, the rapture, which he preached shortly before he left the scene. I think there's only three or four sermons after he preached that he left the scene. Secondly, Brother Ram told us, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that the Lord also descends with a voice, and that voice is the resurrection of the sleeping saints. And he also taught us that the voice that calls forth the resurrection is the same voice that raised Lazarus from the dead. And we all know that that was not the voice of the Son of God, because that voice wept. But when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," that was more than a man. Brother Ram said that was God in the man. So the voice that calls forth the resurrection will be the voice of God himself, and that is not the voice of God in the bride, as some teach, but that is the voice of the one who descends with a shout. Now, thirdly, the Lord is said to come with a trump of God, which Brother Branham taught us, that is a literal catching away. He also said every time the gospel trumpet sounded, war was declared, so this trump will bring with it a declaration of war. It already has, I believe. But so before we go any further, I'd like to also say that Brother Branham said that trumpet is always to call the people to gather together for a feast. And he said this will call us for the wedding feast. So before we go any further, though, I'd like to read some statements from Brother Branham himself concerning quotations, because simply put, he's a vindicated prophet, and that's where we want to take our source from. And first we see that the Lord himself will descend with three things according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, let's look first at the shout to see what it's all about. Now, the Greek word that was translated as shout is the word kaluma, and it literally means to incite by word. And it has to do with the military command. So we see God descending with a military command, calling to order his church. And I believe Brother Branham spoke of the vision that he had, where the bride was walking in a military procession. And he was there with the archangel, if you want to call it that, the angel of the covenant. And he was standing there. The angel of the Lord was with him. And he saw the bride starting to get out of step, and he said, "Stay in line," like that. And so that's a military command. And so we see that that was to get the church in order. Now, from the rapture, Brother Branham said, three things happen. A shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout. Jesus does all three things when he's descending. A shout. What is a shout? It's the message coming forth first, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He never changes his. He's the unchanging God. And in Amos 3 and 7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. And just as certain as he promised, he'll do it. Now, it's interesting that Brother Branham says three things have to happen before Jesus appears. And then he says Jesus does all three things in his descent. He's talking about Jesus, God himself, doing this, bringing it on in the form of, because there's an appearing before the coming. But the Jesus that actually before he appears, is he's talking about the Son of God that we go to meet him in the air. Now, from the rapture, Brother Branham also said, therefore the message calls the bride together. See, the shout and the trumpet, the same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out with a loud voice and woke, and the voice woke Lazarus. With a loud voice he cried, "Lazarus, come forth," see? And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, with the sound of the trumpet, and when it does, it calls. Always the trumpet calls Israel to the feast of the trumpet, see? Which was the Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky, and the feast of the trumpets. And now a trumpet denounces a calling together, calling to the feast. And now that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky. Now watch, the assembling together in the bride, the feast of the trumpets, the wedding supper, we have seen it in type. Now watch just a moment before we close. And again from paragraph 82, he says, he ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing come, when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. Watch. What watch was that? It was the seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold, the bride cometh, rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have any oil in their lamps, see? But it's lamp trimming time. It's Malachi 4 time when you come. It's Luke 17, it's Isaiah, all those prophecies that can perfectly set in order for this day in the scriptures, and we see it living right there. All right, and also from the rapture, paragraph 89, he said, the next is what? Was a trumpet, a voice, a shout, and then a trumpet. Now, the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the Feast of Trumpets is calling the people to a feast, and that'll be the bride's supper or the Lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. See, the first thing comes forth is the message calling the bride together. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride, the one that died back in the other ages. They're caught together, and the trumpet, and the feast of the feast in the heavens and the sky. Why? It's that's the thing that takes place, friends. We're right there, ready now. The only thing the church coming out has to lay before the sun to ripen. The great combine will come by after a while. The wheat will be burned, the stalks, but the grain will be gathered into the garner. See, so Brother Bram's letting us know then that we must lay in the presence of the sun to ripen, and that means to become mature. Now, let's review before we go any further. Here we have a scene set before us of the Lord God himself descending with a message, and then sometime after that, he cries with a loud voice, and the resurrection takes place, and finally then, the sounding of the trumpet calling us to the wedding supper. But God is on the scene the whole time, and he's the one doing these things. Now, if we all know what the rapture means, and we know what faith is, then why do we not have it? You ever ask yourself that? Why doesn't the bride have rapturing faith? We know what it is, but we do not know how to get it. That is the essence of our problem, right? Wrong. This morning I'm going to address that problem. Now I'm not addressing it as though I can do something about it. That's God's business. But my job is just to speak on these questions that the people have and bring out what Brother Branham, God's vindicated prophet, said about them, and try to clear up the confusion that we might have concerning this matter of faith. Now, one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to try to make something more of this rapturing faith than what it really is. What's the point? I can't give you that faith, and so why pretend to have something that you don't have? But what I want to do is to look at these things that Brother Branham said to relieve the anxiety that some of you may be having over not having that rapturing faith right now. In the earlier years, Brother Branham spoke of rapturing faith as something that we did not have yet, because we did not even have enough faith for healing, much less something that would change our bodies. Therefore, he tied it to the kind of faith needed for healing. And let's face it, to change the body is the greatest form of healing. You know, when the missing limbs are come back and everything else. Now, I want you to see the progression of thought that Brother Branham had as time went by. I did a search on every time Brother Branham used the term rapturing faith. And progressively, we're going to look at the oldest times up to the latest times. First, we'll look at 1953, a full 10 years before the seals were opened. The first time Brother Branham used the word rapturing faith was in a sermon he preached called Israel at the Red Sea, number one. That was preached in 3:26 of 1953. And in paragraph 30, he said, "But God's just now loosening up the church everywhere, getting in order now so that he can get into the rapture, and got to give it rapturing faith before it can go in the rapture. The people are in the spirit of the last day, just like they was in the days of Noah. They're eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, unconcerned, don't care, walk around, and anything else. And these American people is the worst on the face of the earth, heady, high-minded, incontinent, fierce, and despisers, a know-it-all. If there's any place in the world with my Bible over my heart and God knowing that I'm looking down on that, and God knowing that and looking down on me, and I know that I may have to stand before him before morning, if I had to say so, the place that needs missionaries worse than any place in the world is the USA, the United States of America. The greatest bunch of heathens that I know of anywhere is in America." Heathens means unbelievers. Now, things haven't changed much. I think the message churches here in America could use some missionaries from Africa to come over here and straighten them up. I do a lot of missionary work around the world, and that is because the rest of the world is open to understanding the doctrine of Christ. But this American church that thinks that she has it all because that she had the prophet right here are the worst churches that I've seen in the world. And this country needs missionaries, but will they open up to hear them? No, they won't. And they send missionaries overseas that don't know a thing and don't teach the people a thing. They go there for take their pictures and flaunt it, and they hardly preach. They said the brothers, when I was over there, I preached 56 hours in 7 days, and they said, they just laughed, and they said, "You're a black brother. You're one of us." They said, "I've never seen an American or a European that could preach more than a few hours, and their voice gets all hoarse and everything else, and you wear out our people." So they made me one of them. I didn't come back with too good of a tan, though. Anyway, but the Americans are just too proud. They wouldn't hear Brother Vail when he was teaching, and they won't hear myself or the others that are teaching the truth either, because they don't want the truth. It might interfere with their kingdom building, everybody's kingdom building. The next thing he spoke on, a sermon called Israel at the Red Sea, preached the next night. And in paragraph 26, he said, "And brother, all Christendom is looking for the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. All that's got any knowledge of the word are. And well, if we can't have faith enough for divine healing, how are we going to have a rapturing faith?" And so that's become kind of the mantra of people. Well, if we don't have enough faith for rapture, you know, for healing, how are we going to have enough faith for change of the body? Well, I believe there's a great calling coming forth. I believe, as David said, he laid there and waited until he listened and waited. And after a while, he heard the rushing wind going through the mulberry bushes around, and he knew God was going before him. "Oh, brother, I'm listening for the rushing of the leaves, the noise of the mulberry bushes. God's going before the battle." Well, then let's rise and put on the full armor of God, pull on the sword, go after it. The battle belongs to us then. When we see the hand of God moving on through signs and wonders, let's start following on. Now, here we speak of how, we hear him speak of how the people do not even have enough faith for healing, much less rapturing faith. But notice also, he begins to see that what the real problem is that God is here and the people know that he's here, but they are not about the following him the way that they should be following him. At least that is what I see coming forth from what he's saying here. He's saying, look, he's here. You know, they don't even have enough faith for rapturing, for healing, and God's here to do it. How are they going to have faith for rapturing? Faith. It's the same God who's here doing it, and they don't even have faith to, you know, for a little hangnail. You see, it's unbelief is what it is. It's unbelief in the people. They don't believe God. Period. They got enough faith for church. Like Brother Bram said, they got enough Holy Ghost to make them miserable. But they don't have enough Holy Ghost in them to believe God for everything He said. If God promised it, He's going to deliver on His promise. God delivers on His promises. God told Abraham when he's 75 years old, Abraham waited. He was 99 years old, waited 25 years for the promise, but God delivered on the promise. God's going to deliver on His promise. Then the next night he preaches a sermon called Israel at Kadesh Barnea. And I believe he says, we're on the borderland tonight. I was wondering about all my meetings and things, how that I had to cancel them out. I truly believe the church can have the rapture. It's got to have rapturing faith. Oh, excuse me. I truly believe before the church can have the rapture, it's got to have rapturing faith. We can't even have faith for divine healing, let alone rapturing faith. Got to have a faith that'll change and quicken this body and be taken away. And I believe there's a church on its road tonight, a power of the living God, that men will speak the word here and there, and it'll flash the lightning, like lightning. And the church is coming out, not a psychologist, not some of this put on, make-believe, but a real, true, genuine, anointed Holy Ghost called out church. Amen. Now, if you'll notice, he redefines here what is meant by rapturing faith. And not that it has to do with healing, although they don't have enough faith for healing, but rather he points to the Word of God going forth in such a way that it'll flash like lightning. So Brother Branham at this point is putting it into the Word. Now, the next time Brother Branham speaks on rapturing faith is a month later, when he preaches a sermon called Jesus Christ, the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever. Preached May 6th of 53. Now we're able to pull the pages back, but we're not able to open the Word. Remember, John saw over there the Word and one sitting upon the throne, and there was no one worthy to take the book, to loose the seals thereof, to look thereon. Is that right? And the Lamb that had been slain before the foundations of the world came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne, and He was worthy and the only one who could open the book and loose the seals. So let's just speak to Him and ask Him if He will open it for us tonight as we bow our heads. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee just as humbly as we know how to come. And Thou art the only one who can take this Word, and Thou art the only one that's worthy of opening the Word. The Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, O Lamb of God, come into our midst tonight in the power of Thy resurrection and give us rapturing faith tonight. Give us great faith and love, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And now, Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity that we have to be back there in the blessed old Bible Hour Tabernacle, and Brother and Sister Reed and all those lovely saints of Yours. We thank Thee for the grace that has kept us, oh, at the trials, the heartaches, the shaking times, and down through the shadows, through the cold spells. But here we are gathered together after 7 years, still in love with Jesus. We thank Thee, Father, for the grace that's kept us, has brought us safe thus far, and it'll take us on, and we're willing to trust it to go on. Now, what I would like to say here is that Brother Bram seems to be placing this rapturing faith as something that God alone can bring forth. And he's asking God to bring it. And that is, he's asking God to do so, knowing if God does not do it, it won't get done. And then we see the next time Brother Brown speaks of rapturing faith, he actually says that God will do it. First, he says we don't have enough faith for healing, much less rapturing faith, but then he says God will do it. Abraham didn't have it in him to have a baby, did he? But what happened? God visited him when he's 99. He says, well, a year from now, you're going to have it. For the sermon, from the sermon, I perceive you are a prophet, preached 5 weeks later, in June 14th of 53, Brother Bram said, if we can't have faith for divine healing, how are we going to have faith for rapturing faith? The church has got a ways to go yet, but I believe God will do it. Now, concerning my little feeble ministry for our Lord, it wasn't my choice. No, sir. You know what I wanted to be in life? A trapper out in the mountains. That's what I made up my mind to be. That I was going to be that, regardless. But God changed my mind when I was laying on the Jewish hospital there dying. He let me know that I do what he said do. So one night when this angel come and told me to go pray for the sick, it was just a starting. Well, how would I go out there before a modern world and introduce something like that when people would say that I'm crazy? I didn't want to do that, but he told me to go, and I started. Now notice here. Here's our key to rapturing faith. It is not what we want to do or when we want it to be done. But it's being obedient and waiting upon God. And when God says do, we do. And when he says speak, we speak. Now, I hope you're catching what I'm catching here. Then 2 months later, in a sermon, Questions and Answers on Genesis, preached 7:29-53, says, there's your five wise virgins who had oil in their lamps, rapturing faith, believing all the signs, wonders, prophecies, and everything. Notice, the five wise virgins had oil in their lamps, rapturing faith. And these five cut out of the remnant was taken away. And the rest of them were still virgins and will not be lost, but will go through the tribulation period. Jesus said that said there'd be, and they said, give us some of your oil. We want the Holy Ghost now. Now, anyone knows that the Holy Ghost in Zechariah 4 and James 5 and 14 and all knows that it represents the Holy Ghost. Now, they said, that's the reason we anoint with oil, represent the Holy Ghost now, the oil of the Spirit, the Bible said. Okay, so here we see Brother Bram is telling us that the wise virgin had rapturing faith. And he let us know that the oil that they had in their vessels represented the Holy Ghost. So we see that it will take the Holy Ghost in your vessel to rapture you. And that's exactly what Paul said in Romans 8, verse 11. He said, but if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So why are we looking for some great mysterious, you know, mustering, rapturing faith, when he said God's going to do it? What it is faith is a revelation. You know God's going to do it. That's what rapturing faith is all about. It has to do with the rapture. It has to have faith, a revelation of what the rapture's all about. And God himself is here. So if God himself is here, God brought the shout, you didn't bring it on. He'll bring forth the resurrection, you have nothing to do with that. Will he not also change your body? It's a promise. Hold to that promise. Now the next time Brother Branham, speaking of the rapturing faith, he speaks of God pouring out of his Spirit that will bring forth the rapturing faith in the people. In his sermon, Talk on the Word, preached 8:31-53, he said, now remember, Joshua was right in the church all the time. He was the one who taken them over. And today, the very signs and wonders and phenomena that's been in the church, every time they had a revival through any age, they see these signs has broke out in the church, and they've been all down through the ages, just like Joshua come with Moses all the way through. But the church age ceased with Moses, and Joshua took the children of God into the promised land. And I believe that the age has come now, the miraculous, the phenomenal, the baptism of the Spirit and power and signs and wonders, this great pouring out of the Spirit in the last days, and that's the thing that'll bring faith into the people, that'll take a rapturing faith, that'll take the church into glory. I believe it. Notice this great pouring out of God's Spirit is what will do it. Therefore, it has nothing to do with you having rapturing faith or me having rapturing faith as though this is something that we can produce within ourselves. No way. It is what God is doing when he wants to do it. In Romans 9, verse 16, he says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. You see, get your focus not on yourself and what you can muster up, but get your focus on God. What is God doing right now? Notice Brother Branham says, the church age ended with Moses. Then it was Joshua that took him in. The same pillar of fire that brought the people out with Moses is the same pillar of fire that brought the people in and placed them positionally with Joshua. And Brother Branham said, our Joshua today is the Holy Ghost. The same pillar of fire that was in Jesus as a prophet brought the people out of organization or organized religion is the same Holy Spirit that after He took Jesus, the prophet, off the scene, He remained on the scene working through the teacher, Paul. Paul, a teacher to the Gentiles. And the same pillar of fire who took the people out of organized religion in this hour through the prophet William Branham, took the prophet William Branham off the scene, but the pillar of fire is still here. Our Joshua is leading and placing the people positionally in Christ. God's the one doing it all the way through. And he says, notice this great pouring of God's Spirit, that's what will do it. Therefore, it has nothing to do with you and I mustering up some kind of a, you know, I got faith. I got faith. That has nothing to do with it. What did God say about it? That has all to do with it. From Romans 9 and 16, let's move on. Then in paragraph 23 of the, 25 of the same message, Brother Brown says, how can the church be raptured when we haven't got enough faith for healing? We got to have rapturing faith first. That's right. How that God moves by His Spirit, signs and wonders, begins to follow. Everywhere God begins to move, signs and wonders follows God. The world has always stood off and criticized it from Adam on down. They've done it every time, and it's nothing new that you should be criticized for accepting Jesus Christ. So he's saying, look, every place that God goes, something happens. So go where God goes. That's what I'm saying this morning. Keep your focus with God. So you see, when God moves, we must move. And that is the principle he's telling us here. Now, a few days later, he again addresses this subject in a sermon called Healing, What Cancer Is, 9:4 of 53. And notice that he says, and the Spirit can move through us. Now, these things by our teachers is just cheated us from them. We ought to have been way up the road. How can we ever go in the rapture? Do you believe the church will be raptured someday? We which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. How are we going to have a rapturing faith when we haven't got healing faith? Hear me. There's coming an hour when the church of Jesus Christ shall rise in her beauty. Signs and wonders will fall from everywhere. And I believe that hour is at hand. Amen. How do you do, lady? I'm a stranger to you, lady. You're a stranger to me. I know nothing of you. God knows you. But here's a perfect case. Again, for our master calling to the Samaritan woman. It was a woman of another race. The Samaritan was a different race from the Jews. Just like we're two races. I be a white man. You're a colored lady. What's he saying here? Notice he says that we should be way up the road at this point to rapturing faith. But we have been cheated by our teachers. And at that point, had not enough faith for healing. So because the teachers weren't teaching faith, the people didn't have rapturing faith. They didn't even have faith for healing. So he was placing the blame for the people not having rapturing faith on the teachers. Then if false teaching can be blamed for the people not having rapturing faith, then that tells me that rapturing faith or the ability to accept it lays in correct teaching. Moses took him out, but Joshua took him in. Jesus took him out, but Paul brought him in. William Branham brought him out, but our Joshua, the great teacher who's on the scene, will bring him in. Then 6 months ago, 6 months goes by, and Brother Branham in his sermon, God has provided a way, preached 4:4 of 54. And he said, and notice carefully the title of this sermon. God has provided a way. He says, and now we're moving right on into another great age, coming for the rapture of the church. And in this, we're living in the time of the restoration of the gifts. It stumbled many of the big, fine churches. It sent Nazarene backwards. It made fanatics out of a lot of Pentecost. But just the same, God's moving right on, bringing in the rapturing faith for His church. That's right. So tonight, I present that faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints in the way of a divine gift, which to my opinion, gifts and callings, not my opinion, but the Bible says that gifts and callings are without repentance. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, I like that. Puts it back in God. You can't make yourself with blue eyes when you got brown eyes. You're just what you are by the grace of God. You can't even come to God without God calling you first. You can't seek God without God seeking you first and calling you. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. So God is seeking. God has set his church. Or God has set in the church. And then from a little child born here in this state of Kentucky, visions just come to me just the same as eating or anything else. It's just as God will, he provides it. I just do as he tells me to do. Certainly, I have many critics. I have many people who disbelieve it. No matter what would take place, they disbelieve it anyhow. I expect to have that. And if I didn't have that, I'd go down to the altar somewhere and say, "Dear Lord, what's wrong with me? For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Right. We must have it. That's right. Well, notice Brother Bram said he's born that way. Visions. He said, if you're blue-eyed, you can't make yourself brown-eyed. He said, God's going to bring forth the rapturing faith. You're not going to bring forth no rapturing faith. God's here to do it. Now, notice that Brother Branham was speaking about rapturing faith, and then he changes the subject, or did he? You see, he was pointing to a sovereign God who does what he's going to do, and there is nothing you can do about it, and the same applies to rapturing faith. In speaking of the rapture and the change of the body, Jesus said, "Of that day knoweth no man, not even the Son, but the Father only." We see that in Mark 13:32 and Matthew 24:36. Now, the last time Brother Branham spoke of rapturing faith was in The next time Brother Branham spoke of rapturing faith was in April 1954. And he does not speak of rapturing faith until a year and a half later in a sermon, Law Having a Shadow, preached June 21st of 1956, where he said, "Why, I believe the time will soon come that when a miracle healing will be such a common thing. We've got to get some rapturing faith in the church to get away from here one of these days." Law Having a Shadow. How it foreshadowed all things. We could go back, if time would permit, and get the great things back all through the coming of the ark at the flood, and how Moses down in Egypt and many of the great characters in the changing of dispensations, how the law and by the word of the law had supremacy, and how that everything else gave away when God's law stretched. Now notice here he's speaking of how that everything must give away when God's law is stretched or brought forth. Then in his sermon, Spiritual Inspiration, preached 128-56, he said, "The woman, we realized that Elijah was a servant of God, and when he would come by that way, she'd always try to do a little favor for him, try to be kind to him. And if there's anything that we ought to be, is kind to one another. And when you see a brother or sister in fault, don't never breathe it to anybody. Keep it to yourself and pray for that person. Be kind to them. And if the person of God is in you, if the Spirit of God is in you, then you will be kind to one another. Jesus said, 'I come to do thy will, Father.' And we are about our Master's business as he was about the Father's business. And the same Spirit that he had to begin the works of the Father and to finish the atonement to make a way that we could carry the message. If that Spirit is in you, you'll have that same attitude towards people, trying to do what you can to help them, no matter who they are, or where they are. You'll try to help the people." Amen. That's kind of strong, but that's the truth. That's right. Rather, friends, it's the time has come where we're nearing the end, and something's got to be done. And notice, we got to have rapturing faith right now, right away now. I believe it. And after tomorrow night, I want you to reason about it when I speak on the second coming and see how close you think it is. Now, what I would like so much about this quote is that he shows the attitude of the woman who got something from God through the prophet because she had the proper respect for God's servant. And notice he said the same thing about Jesus, who said, "I come to do thy will, Father," and so on. You see, it matters not when the rapture happens. Some of you would like for it to happen now because you're tired out. But that's no reason for God to bring about one of the greatest form of healing, which is the healing or the change of the body, is just because you're tired out. Take some vitamin B. Seriously. I'll tell you why you're tired out. You may not like what I'm going to say, but you really get tired out when you're focused on yourself. Get focused on others. And God will give you the energy more energy than you ever thought that you'd have. Notice he said the same Spirit that he had to begin the works of the Father and to finish the atonement to make a way that we could carry the message. If that Spirit is in you, you'll have that same attitude towards people, trying to do whatever you can to help them. No matter who they are or where they are, you'll try to help people. Brother Branham said the reason why his ministry was so successful is because he loved people. From Questions and Answers on the Holy Ghost, preached 12/19 of 1959. He said, soon the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we've got to have rapturing faith in the church that can be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to go out, or will not go. But don't worry, it'll be there. It'll be there. So don't worry about that rapturing faith. It'll be there. So you see, it is just like all promises that God has given to us. Even though no man will know the day nor the hour, yet God knows. And not one thing is out of kilter with His great plan. From Abraham and his seed, preached in 1961, 4:16 of 61. Brother Branham said, now, what did he say to Abraham? You're an old man, 100 years old, Abraham. You're 99, but I am El Shaddai. I am the breasted one. Now we're on the, and we pass the first junctions, justification, sanctification. Now, remember, that was things of God promised and did to Abraham. But here he said, I am the breasted God. Now you're old, Abraham. You're 100 years old, but to me, you're no more than a baby. So I'll just give you a promise, and I am the breasted God. I am the strong one. Lean upon my bosom now and nurse from me my strength into your weak body, getting him ready for the miracle. And that's what he done to the Pentecostals after Wesley's age. He let the Pentecostals nurse his own strength, his own Holy Spirit as a baptism back into their weak bodies to give them faith for the rapture, to give them faith for miracles. I'm El Shaddai. What he did to Abraham and to his seed after him. Watch, believing, confirmation, blood covenant, now rejecting himself, his strength into his people. Or injecting himself, not rejecting, injecting himself. So you see, it was not what Abraham did, but what God did for Abraham. Well, it's not what you're going to do to get out of here, but it's what God is going to do for you. Get your focus right. Is this the sign of the end, sir? Preached 12:30 of 1962, 3 months before the seals. Where are we at, sirs? What's all of this about? I'm asking you. The other angels was messengers, men of the earth, but this angel, this said to the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, messengers on the earth, men, messengers, prophets, and so forth to the church. But this one didn't come from the earth. He come down from heaven because the mystery's all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And 7 thunders throw their voices out. And what if it is something to let us know how to enter into rapturing faith? Is it? Will we run and leap over walls? Well, we know that's not going to happen. In fact, later on, Brother Branham said, that's for the Jews. Is there something fixing to happen and these old, marred, vile bodies are going to be changed? Can I live to see it, Lord? Is it so close that I'll see it? Is this generation, sirs, my brethren, what time is it? Where are we at? Now remember, Brother Ram told us that the 7 thunders were revealed in the 7 seals. And the sermon is a few months before the seals were opened. And remember, the angel came down and one went in there with Brother Branham. One of the 7 angels stayed and went with Brother Branham into the room. And again from sirs, is this the end? He said, is the mystery all finished? Has the sounding all over? Is that really them 7 thunders fixing to utter out something that the little group that he's gathered together will receive a rapturing faith to go into the rapture when he comes? For it will be changed as quick as those angels come in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with those that is asleep to meet the Lord in the air? My prayer is, God, if this be so, I don't know, Lord. I'm just telling the church, if it be so, Lord, prepare our hearts, make us ready, Lord, for that great hour that all the history of time, all the prophets and sages has looked for that time. Now I can understand why the 7 Thunders group went the way they went. Because they take a few quotes like this and they're looking for rapturing faith. And so Brother Branham said, will the 7 Thunders bring that rapturing faith on? So they say, oh, what's the 7 Thunders? Then they begin to make up something, the seventh thunder is getting the people all hyped up. They get people jumping up and down. And really, you know, if you look at those churches, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the people are just out of order. You know, jumping up and down and running the aisles and everything else, and just hardly anything is preached, but just excitement. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can jump and jump and jump, and you can pole vault 18, 20 feet. That's not going to get you to heaven. And you can jump and jump and jump like the Maasai warriors can. Like pogo stick jumping. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to get you raptured out. I wonder if some of them are just thinking, well, maybe if I can jump high enough, I'll just keep going. I'll leave gravity. No, brother, sister. Rapturing faith is faith in a rapture. What is faith? It's a revelation. What is a revelation? It's something you know. It's having complete trust in God to do it, to bring it on. And Abraham got more excited the older he got. And you all ought to be more excited every day that comes further down the pike, because it's going to be just that much greater miracle for God to do it. From accepting God's provided way, Brother Bram said, then when you say, well, I'm exactly on His word, then He vindicates that to be the truth. Now, He's still on course tonight if we'll just believe it. Will you do it? Let's bow our heads. Now, just as reverent as you can be for a moment, God provided a way that He might bring the believers to a rapturing faith, God's way. His provided way to bring believers to rapturing faith. So God's provided a way. And from the first seal, He says, and then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something we've got to step forward. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in the moment and to be swept out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, we'll find where it's written. Now, I think it was a week or two ago, I read a quote where Brother Branham said that when we begin to see the resurrected saints, he said, then we'll get our body changed. So you're not going to bring a body change before they come. But I tell you what, when you see the resurrection and the resurrected saints starting to come around, you talk about rapturing faith. You talk about getting your focus. Remember, I told you I had a dream years ago, and it just stayed with me, the aura of that dream, for about three months. And I was in Brother Branham's living room, and there were some chairs set up in a circle, and I was sitting there, and Brother Branham came in and sat down. Nobody else was at the chairs. I was there by myself, and I just asked him. There was like 8 or 10 chairs around. I was expecting, you know, that there would be a bunch of people coming. But anyway, Brother Branham sat down, and there was just silence, and I could feel just a real reverent August presence there. You know, it was just very, very reverent and awesome. And so then I spoke up, and I said, Brother Branham, would you mind if I asked you a question? And he said, no, that'd be all right. And I said, what will it be like the time of the resurrection? And he just looked at me and he said, it would be like suicide. And I knew when he said that, he wasn't saying it will be suicide. He didn't say that. He said, it'll be like suicide. In other words, you'll be so focused that there's no turning back. And then he said, tell Brother Vail I said hello, or send my greetings. And then the dream ended. And there was like an aura that just hung on me for at least 3 months. And every time I think about that, it just comes back. When a person is getting ready to commit suicide, they are so focused on doing it, they're just going to do it. They don't think about the circumstances. They don't think about the complications. They don't think about all that other stuff. They're focused on one thing, and that's getting out of here. In the time of the resurrection, you won't be thinking about anything else but going home, getting a body change. Getting out of here. So we talk about having enough faith. But Paul said that though I have all faith to move mountains, and yet Jesus said, though I have faith the size of a mustard seed, and do not doubt, but say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, it'll be done. So no matter the size of faith, whether we have all faith or faith the size of a mustard seed, it's still faith that does it. And faith is a revelation, something that's been revealed to you. And it is not our faith, but Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, we live by the faith of the Son of God. So it is his faith, not our faith. And his faith was in God to do all and to raise him from the dead. So it is a faith in God, knowing that what he said will certainly come to pass. So just be patient until he does it. And look to him as he is the author and finisher of our faith. And if you have to have a different kind of faith, then it's up to the author and finisher to complete that which he's begun. He who began the good work in you, he also shall perform it. Now, from 1963, Brother Branham said, accepting God's provided way, he said, O Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, how can we sit there, Lord? This ought to bring a rapturing faith, power of God, that would sweep this whole audience, Lord, into a higher heights and into the glory of God. Let the devil that's had these people bound turn them loose upon the promise of God that I believe in, upon the Bible that I teach upon, the God who provides that it is the Bible that proves that he is God of the Bible. So Brother Bram saying, look, God's going to do it. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, preached 627, several months after the seals, 63. Do you believe someday that he'll come in and make us free? I do. Come to the grave and open the doors. I'll come out from among the dead. I'm trusting him. He's here tonight. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to take some human philosophy? We've got a Bible here that speaks of this. And here he is to identify his church, to give it rapturing faith, to be taken away. So God, he's saying, God is here to do this. From Why Christ Speak, preached 7:14 of 63, said the time of the rapture is at hand, and we're looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. We see a God that can raise the dead off the floor or out in the yard and bring them back to life again and present them before us. When we see a God who can take a cancer that eats a man to a shadow and raise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people. That when that light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into the heavens. Yes, there's got to be something like that happen, and our schools of theology can never produce that, yet they intellectually are right. But you've got to meet that light. Well, that same light transformed Paul from a murderer to a man willing to give his life for God. That same light that took Peter from a bumbling person hiding out, set him free from the prison, and set him on a course for martyrdom, willing to be crucified upside down. And Brother Brown said, you've got to meet that light. And you know what? That light's here. That pillar of fire that was with Brother Branham, he's still here. But you've got to meet him. Notice it is seeing God in our midst already doing great and marvelous things, such as raising the dead, that ought to give us faith for our own change of the body. And he's still on the scene. From Lord, just once more, preach 628 of 63. We've got the members, but they're weak. They love things of the world better than they do the things. And you say, oh no, oh, look upon the churches and find out. Don't try to deny it. Your action speaks more than your words does. Oh yeah, got more members, bigger muscles. But where is the strength of the Lord? Your big muscles won't meet the challenge of this hour, the rapturing faith to take the church out of this thing before the judgment strikes the earth and judgment's fixing to strike. So members won't do it. Hype won't do it. Enthusiasm won't do it. From once more, preached 11:17 of 63. Just once more, Lord. One more time, great move of the Spirit. One more time, Lord, and the church might receive the rapturing faith to go in. Grant it, Lord. Make known that you're with us. And we'll praise thee for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Knowing that he's here. I believe the presence and understanding the presence and being so caught up into the presence of God is what is necessary for us to have the right focus for rapturing faith. From the token, preached 11:28 of 63, I'm looking for a time of the breaking forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we're now living in, for another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church for rapturing faith just before it comes. And everything is setting straight in order for that, and I believe that we're now at the time that the Word should have preeminence. I believe that it's time to lay aside our creeds and our thoughts and come back to the Word. So the Word has got to have the preeminence for this to take place. Now, in talking about the third pole, Brother Bram said in his sermon, "Look away to Jesus," preached 12:29 and 63. "It is so sacred that I must not say anything about it. As he told me in the beginning, said, 'This, say nothing of it.' You remember that years ago. It speaks of itself, see? But to me, I've tried to explain the others, and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away, see? Now, I must lay quiet for a little while. Now remember, and those who's listening to the tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now when it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens, over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. Well, when's that going to happen? You know what? It'll happen when God makes it happen. Just be open to it when it does. From the countdown, he said, it's preached in 2:9 of 64. It's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. You ministers know that, don't you? The Holy Ghost sanctifies. The Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith, see, as we move up. I don't know how to make that any plainer. It is the Holy Spirit that gave us the revelation which justifies us in the first place. It is the Holy Spirit that placed the new desires in our heart and sanctified us in our spirit and soul and flesh. It is the Holy Spirit that baptizes us with His Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that has come down in our midst in this hour. So if He doesn't finish that which He's began, who's going to do it for Him? He spoke the worlds into existence. You don't think He can speak a body into a change? Notice Brother Bram said, it's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. You ministers know that, don't you? The Holy Ghost sanctifies. The Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith, see, as we move up. So all I can say is just get more of that Holy Ghost. From Spiritual Food in Due Season, preach 7:18 of 65. I want you to get built up now in the holy oracles of God. That's the Word of God. In the faith of this hour, the faith. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age, for this has to be rapturing faith to be taken up. So we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen, heard, and heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs and wonders that you've seen done. We want you to accumulate all that together into your heart and consider it whether if that be God or not. It's like Elisha of old said, if God be God, then serve Him. And if Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian, then I think we ought to let loose of everything else and cleave to Him. Remember, He is the center. He is the North Star. He's the ultimate. He's the absolute. And if He's the North Star, there's only one thing that'll point you to the North Star, and that's your compass that you're sailing with. And the compass that I'm trying you to sail with is the Word. And the Word always points to Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, because it all comes back to Your Word. You said there's going to be a church that have rapturing faith, a bride and elect, and You are here to perform it. You are the one that said that there would be a rapture, and You've already come. You've already come with a shout, Father, which is the beginning. It's a gathering together of Your saints. Then we know, Father, that You, the same one who gave the shout, You're here to give the voice, the resurrection. And You're also here to bring forth that trump, the catching away, change of the body. So, Father, we know that You who began the good work, You also shall perform it. And we just commit it unto Thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song, if we would. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Against that day. It's, I believe, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12.
I know whom I have believed,
and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
One more time.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him.